It is an abiding truth that in times of great turmoil, distress, or fear, human beings everywhere are able to find one great consolation, their faith in God. As St. Paul says in today's second reading, remain faithful to what you have learned and believed. But faith would be of very little comfort to most of us if it were simply a matter of having faith in facts and dogma that we've learned. Those are important, very important, but as St. Paul goes on to say, faith, true faith, is faith in a person, faith in Jesus Christ. Essentially, faith is a response to God who reveals himself to us. All throughout Scripture, God tells us, I am here for you, and we respond by saying, I believe in you. It is, in other words, part of a relationship. God reveals himself, and we respond with faith in what and who he reveals himself to be. We enter into a relationship. Now, key to every relationship is communication. Married couples should know all about this. If you want your marriage to work, you have to communicate. You have to talk. And communication doesn't stop with husband and wife. All the members of the family have to talk to each other if they're going to know and really love each other. And so parents and children and brothers and sisters all have to communicate. Now, God is our Father, and Christ is our brother, and he's the bridegroom of the church. Mary is our mother, and the saints are our brothers and sisters. How do we communicate in our relationship with God and his family, the saints? The most fundamental way that we communicate is through prayer. As St. Luke tells us in today's gospel, Jesus told his disciples a parable about the necessity for them to pray always without becoming weary. He then goes on to portray a worst case scenario of the nagging widow who prays, in a sense, too much even. But at least she's praying and she gets what she wants. Sometimes people ask me to teach them how to pray and what to pray. Now, there are lots of ways of praying, but there are basically two kinds of prayer that most of us can normally experience. One is we call vocal prayer, and the other is mental prayer or meditation. Vocal prayer is the recitation of prayers that have been written by others, sort of, if you will, formulaic prayers, like the Our Father, the Hail Mary, or the prayers of the Mass. And these we can say either out loud or silently, and it's still called vocal prayers. And the second category is mental prayer. A prayer in which we depend not so much on words of a formula, but on ideas and affections of the mind and heart. What we usually do is either focus on God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit. We just talk to him in our words, or just in the silence of our hearts, and we try to listen to him. Or we might focus on some pious or holy idea. Maybe some event in Jesus' life or an aspect of his love, some point of dogma, whatever. And we think about it, meditate about it, in the presence of God, asking him to help us to either understand it or using it to help us to understand God better. Now, all of this could be rather confusing, and I could talk all day about methods and levels of prayer, but instead I'm going to teach you the great shortcut to learn how to pray. The shortcut is very simple. It's the rosary. I say this, first of all, because the rosary can be said as either a vocal prayer or as a meditative prayer, and it can teach us how to do both well. And when we pray, it mainly as a vocal prayer, we remember that it contains the three greatest vocal prayers we know: the Our Father, the Hail Mary, and the Glory Be. All of these are given to us for the most part in sacred scripture. They're the words of Jesus or an angel or a saint, and all of them inspired by the Holy Spirit. Some complain that the rosary can become dry. But in a certain sense, it's hard to understand how it could ever become dry when we consider the passion with which the great masters of prayers, like St. Teresa of Avila and Pope John Paul II, how much they loved the rosary. It wasn't dry for them. What usually makes vocal prayer, in particular the rosary, seem dry is usually one of three things. First, maybe our heart's not in it. We have sort of a weak attitude. We don't want to pray. And so, of course, the prayer will feel like it's dry. Or maybe we're taking the words, the familiar words, for granted. We're just racing through them and ignoring, really, the fact that we're praying. Or maybe we simply get distracted, which is really, I think, the main problem with praying. Here's a suggestion for how you can tackle these problems. Take your time and think about the words that you're saying. The prayers of the rosary, like so many vocal prayers, are really beautiful if you stop and think about it. For example, the Our Father. I mean, this is the prayer of Jesus. This is how he taught his apostles to pray, how he wanted us to pray. It is, in a certain sense, the perfect prayer. The words are profound, and each line is a rich treasure chest of knowledge and devotion. So instead of racing through the rosary or any prayer, we might simply slow down and think about the words, remembering that we're really talking to God, or in the case of the Hail Mary, talking to the Blessed Mother. Some get upset about preset formulas and complain that they take away sort of the spontaneity and freedom of expression. But the preset formula isn't meant to take away our freedom. It's really meant to help us, to free us up to pray. Freeing us up from having to reinvent the wheel every time we kneel down to pray. Freeing us from spending most of our time in prayer distracted by trying to figure out what it is we want to say or what we should say or how can we say it better. Have you ever done that when you kneel down to pray and you can't think of what words do you say? Help me, God. I really mean it. Thanks a lot. How about, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Much better. So we have with the rosary the best words really possible, straight out of Scripture, given to us by the Holy Spirit. Well, the task for us is to make them our own, to make those words mean something for us, and understand them, and then pray them. Now, of course, the central prayer of the rosary is the Hail Mary. So in one sense, we can see the rosary as a particular conversation with the Blessed Mother. We remember that she is the Mother of Christ, but she's also our Mother. She is Christ's gift to us, and she loves us. And so resting in the comfort and peace of the arms of our Blessed Mother, we pray with her, and we pray to her, and ask her to pray for us, helping us, her children, whatever our needs are, but especially to pray well. But the prayer doesn't stop there. You notice that these prayers are repeated over and over again. The reason we repeat these prayers is twofold. First, so that we can think about them. Sometimes when we're really thinking about the words, we're sort of focused on one word or one phrase. So when I'm saying the Hail Mary, for example, maybe the idea, blessed are you among women. Maybe that sticks with me and I sort of think about that even as I go on to the rest of the words. And then maybe the second time I pray it, the words full of grace may strike me and I stay with those as I go on and finish the prayer. And the third time, something else. It's like a rich jewel. We can turn around and look at it from different angles, and each time we see something more beautiful, something different, something wonderful. And the second reason we repeat prayers is because, well, in a much more important sense, it helps us to fight distractions. For one thing, it helps us to focus our prayer. We can keep our minds over and over again on these same words, these same ideas. And for another, we can sort of develop a method of a certain rhythm, making it easier to ignore distractions. But what I mean by this is, sometimes in Mass, or sometimes when you're in the church, maybe there's a beautiful hymn being sung, maybe particularly Gregorian chant has this effect on a lot of people, that's sort of, you don't know the words to, but it's a beautiful hymn, and It's just a beautiful melody and it lifts you up, right? It's sort of like background music that helps you feel like you're in the presence of God. The Hail Marys repeated over and over again can be sort of like that, sort of like a background hymn that calms us and focuses on Mary and on the fruit of her womb, Jesus. And then that can lead us to the second kind of prayer, the mental prayer or meditation. As we begin to realize that the Rosary is not simply a Marian devotion, but it is truly at its heart a Christ-centered devotion. Because the Rosary, as we all know, is divided into 15 mysteries, or 20 if you count the luminous mysteries. Events in the life of Jesus and Mary that draw us back to Jesus that we're supposed to meditate on as we pray the decades, to think about and to pray about as we pray the Hail Marys. So that as we sit with our Blessed Mother, we ask her to help us to pray. We ask her, the one who sees the details that only a mother would notice about her son. We ask her, our Mother, to show us, to teach us about her son Jesus. In her presence and under her instruction, we focus on and meditate on the events of the life of Jesus, as a Hail Mary is there to sort of calm us and lead us through it and place us in her presence. And pretty soon you're not simply thinking about the particular prayer, but about Jesus and only Jesus in his life, death, and resurrection. Now, obviously, there are various ways that you can pray the Rosary. You might say, Father, the way you just described the Rosary, I've never prayed the Rosary that way. Okay. Maybe you find yourself somewhere between these two types of praying the Rosary, this deeply meditative Rosary on the one hand and the simple vocal prayer to Mary. That's fine. But in this, you discover the depth and breadth of how to pray and how you can grow in praying, not just simply the Rosary, but all prayers. And maybe you don't even say the simple prayers of the Rosary very well. Maybe you say the Rosary on your way to work, and there's lots of distractions. Maybe you get halfway through the Rosary and you realize that you haven't been paying very much attention to it because the traffic's been taking your mind away from it. Some people will say that that's a bad way to pray the Rosary. I don't think so at all. I think that's perfectly fine. It's not the best way to pray the Rosary, but that simple repetitive prayer, by doing that, by entering that, you've done something most people won't do all day. You've made God, the mystery of his life, and the presence of and love of his mother a part of the start of your day. And you have made your faith come alive by living and talking with our heavenly family. Maybe not in the most deepest and most profound way, but it is meaningful and it can be a powerful way to start the day. The first reading today tells us, in those days, Amalek came and waged war against Israel. And these days, a lot of folks seem to be coming to wage war on us, the Catholic Church. But Scripture goes on to tell us, it says, as long as Moses kept his hands raised up, and Israel had the better part of the fight. But when he let his hands down, Amalek had the better part of the fight. Then it goes on and says, so Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side, one on the other. Moses wasn't raising his hand simply to be seen better by the Israelites. Some people actually said that, some scholars. Nonsense. He was raising his hands in the classic Hebrew form of prayer, like a priest prays. We call it the orans, the praying position at Mass. In other words, as long as Moses was praying, his people were winning the battle. And when he stopped praying because he was tired, they started to lose. Now, you don't normally raise your hands in prayer like Moses did. In fact, at Mass, only the priest is supposed to raise his hands in prayer like that. You are called to fold your hands. But in any case, we do have to keep our hearts raised in prayer. Because if we don't pray always, if we don't constantly talk to God and the angels and saints, how can we become close to them? How can we ever know truly the strength and consolation of Jesus. Sometimes it becomes difficult to pray. We become like Moses, we become weary or distracted or unsure of our prayer. You know, we may not have Aaron and Hur around to help us and hold up our hands like Moses did. But the thing is, when we pray the rosary, we definitely have Mary there holding us up and helping us to lift our heart up in prayer. If you ask me if you have to pray, I would say, well, only if you want that faith that you profess to be in Jesus Christ as a real person whom you can really know and understand and love, and only if you want to find strength and consolation in this world and perfect happiness in the next. If you don't want that, then don't worry about praying. If you ask me how often you should pray, I would tell you, pray always without becoming weary. And if you ask me how to pray, I would tell you, first of all, pray the rosary. Praise be Jesus Christ.